Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Yat Shalom. We're now in Masechet Arachin Daf Yod Amud Aleph, near the top of the Amud at the next Mishnah in this, the second Perek, continuing with the theme of ranges of things in Halacha, all related to the Mikdash. Ein pochatin me'asrim v'achat tkiot b'mikdash. We have no fewer than 21 blasts of the shofar on any given day. And there is never a day with more than 48. You want to see the details? Look in Masechet Sukkah, Perakei Mishnah Hey. It will detail, outline how you could, why the basic minimum, and how you could get to that maximum. Ein pochatin mishnei nevalim. We have no fewer than two nevalim, which are probably lyres or lute, some sort of stringed instrument. V'lo mosifin al shisha. We have no more than six. Ein pochatin mishnei chalilin. We have no fewer than two chalilin, which is something like pan flutes. V'lo mosifin al shnei masar. We have no more than 12. U'v'shnei masar yom ha'shana chalil makel lifnei ha'mizbeach. There were 12 days a year that the chalil would play in front of the mizbeach. Shchitat Pesach Rishon, Shchitat Pesach Sheni, so both times that the Pesach is slaughtered, Rishon and Niyar. Yom Tov Rishon Shal Pesach, Yom Tov Shal Atzeret, the first day of Chag HaMatzot, the day of Shavuot, Shemat Yimei HaChag, and the 8 days of Sukkot. That's 12. We'll see why those 12. V'lo Hayah Makeh B'Abuv Shel Nechoshet. Abuv is another word for the Chalil. It's the tube. He wouldn't use a tube of copper. Ela B'Abuv Shel Kaneh. They'd rather use one of reed. Nei Shekolo Arev. It had a sweeter sound. V'lo Hayah Mechalek. Ela B'Abuv Yechidi. And he would only end the music with one single Chalil. He'd have a bunch of Chalilim, but the last note would be played by one single Chalil. Nei Shu Machlik Yafeh, because it's easier to end that way. V'avdei Kohanim Hayu. The people who played these instruments were slaves. They were slaves of the Kohanim. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mishpachat Beit Pgarim u'Beit Tzipora me'Emaum. They were two families that were well-known Israeli families from Emmaus. Hayim Asi'in Lekuna. They were very miuchas so that their daughters could marry Kohanim, but they were Yisraelim. No, they were Levim. We'll see what that discussion is about, but we won't get to that in this shiur. Okay, Manikman Lok Rabbi Yehuda. The first statement is that there were 21 to 48 tkiot. That was the range. On a daily basis, that does not accord with Rabbi Yehuda. Tani Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo yifchot misheva, lo yosif al sheish esrei. There's between 7 and 16, and you'll notice 7 and 16 is exactly 21 to 48 divided by 3. So, Maika Epalgi, what was the disagreement about? Rabbi Yehuda Savar, tkiya trua, tkiya charahi. In other words, what would happen is they would, 7 times during the day, they would blow tkiya trua tkiya. Rabbi Yehuda says that's one sound. So 7 of those. Rabbanan sabi tkiya l'chud trua l'chud tkiya l'chud. Each one is considered a separate sound. So they're not disagreeing what would happen. They just disagreed about how to refer to it. Now, my time of Rabbi Yehuda, why would Rabbi Yehuda consider the set to be a single unit? Because k'tiv utkatem trua, in the mitzvah of chatzotzrot, it says you shall blast a trua, and so therefore you see tkiya and trua and tkiya, they're all one thing. Shma mina tkiya trua tkiya charahi. Rabbanan says ahu lepshuta fanam pshuta achareahu da'ata. That's not coming to teach it's all one sound. It's the opposite. It's coming to teach that whenever you have a trua, you have to have a separate tkiya beforehand and a separate tkiya afterwards. Rabbanan maitama, why do Rabbanan say they're separate? Dichtiv uvakil takal titkuv lo tariu, because there's an example where the Torah says to only do tkiya and not to do a trua. That's when you're assembling the group and the nation in the camp. If you think it's all one thing, the Torah say do half a mitzvah. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Siman of Almu. It wasn't the mitzvah of shofar. The mitzvah of shofar of chatzotzrot is the whole unit. This was just a way to gather the people. Now, come on, Azlatim Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana's statement says, in Bidkiya the Trua Velo Klum, you're supposed to go immediately from Kiya to Trua without a break. Come on. Rabbi Yehuda, that fits with Rabbi Yehuda, says they're all one mitzvah, there's no reason to interrupt in the middle. So Pshita, so Maudatem Afidra Kavaranacha. Now, you might have thought that even Rabbanon agree. Well, Afukir Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan's famous statement in Rosh Hashanah, Demar Shama, Teisha Tkiyot, Teisha Shot Bayom, if you hear a Tkiya in the morning and a Tkiya later in the morning, another one, Yatsa, that you fulfill the mitzvah because you can have a large break. They're totally independent. So Kamashlan, because even the Rabbanan would agree that they have to be done together. The only question is, can there be a break between them? So ve'ema hachinami. So maybe the statement of Kahana really does accord with Rabbanan. So again, my velo klum. Then what's the point of him saying velo klum? There's not an iota of space between Tki and Trua. It must be like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, shnei masai yom hashana makeb b'chalil. These 12 days is listed in the Mishnah is when they play the chalil. Maishnahani, why these 12 days? Hol the yachid gomer menat halel, because everywhere, not just the mikdash, every individual is saying halel on those 12 days. The word gomer here means to read or recite. Now, instead of 12 days, you've got 18 days. So we have to see how that works. What are the 18 days? The 8 days of Sukkot. So those 8 days aren't going to be part of our Mikdash orientation. Yom Tov Yishan Shal Pesach, the first day of Pesach, Yom Tov Shel Atzeret, the first day of Shavuot. Of course, what's left off is the Shechitat Pesach of first and second. So there's two more days, but eight less, and therefore you go from 12 to 18 for Hallel. Uvagola Asim Vechad. And Chutzlaretz, you have 21 days, because one added day to Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. Tishai Mechag, Shmoneh Mechanukah, that's 17. Shneimim Tovim Shal Pesach, the first 2 days of Matzot, and Shneimim Tovim Shal Atzeret, the 2 days of Shavuot. Now, my Shnav Achag, Damin Kol Yoma, Shnav Pesach Delo Amin Kol Yoma. How come on Sukkot you say Hallel every day, but on Pesach you don't say it every day, because Mi'ikar Adin, you don't say Hallel on the first day of Pesach, or in Chutz Laretz on the first 2 days of Pesach, although our custom is to say some chapters of Hallel, the rest of Pesach, as we do in Rosh Chodesh, but that's not the Ikar Adin. So why is that? The answer is the Chag Chalukin Mekorbanotei, and every day of Sukkot has a different Korban. So as Rav Soloveitchik would explain, that means that every day has its own Kedusha Tayom, a separate Kedusha. The Pesach and Chalukim Mekorbanotein. Pesach, it's all the same Korban every day, and that's why we have the same exact Maftar every day in our reading. And therefore, it's all one Kedusha, as it were. So if that's the criterion, then Shabbat, the Chalukah, Mekorbanotei Aleima, so we should say Hallel on Shabbat. Because after all, Shabbat, there's a different Korban than the day before and the day after. So the answer is Lo Yikri Moed. There's another consideration. So to explain this, we have to understand that Hallel starts as part of a reflection of Shira in the Mikdash, which is B'mo'adechem, on your special calendar days. Shabbat does not call the Moed, and therefore Shabbat's not going to be on. So Rosh Chodesh to Ikri Moed Lema, so Rosh Chodesh has both criteria. It's called a Moed, and it has a unique Korban. The answer is Lo Ikdish Basiat Malacha. It is not a day which is consecrated by a prohibition of malacha. Why do I think that's important? Dichtiv, Asher Yalachem Kalelit Kadesh Chag. Yeshayahu tells Chizkiyahu HaMelech that Sancheriv is going to come attack the city, but you will be spared, and you will sing thanksgiving to God like the day, like the night of the sanctified holiday, meaning that he's referring to Pesach. And therefore the model of Shira is Laila Mekudash L'Chag Ton Shira, only a time when the night before is sanctified for Chag requires Shira, but she'ein Mekudash L'Chag ain't Ton Shira, but if not, not. Okay, well if that's the case, we got one more problem left. Rosh Hashanah V'Yom Kippurim Te'ikru Moed V'Iktush Masiyat Malacha. Rosh Hashanah Kippur have unique Korban, called Moed, have an Isur Malacha, Lema, we should say Hallel. The answer is somewhat homiletic. Mishum de Rabbi Yavau, Dem Ravau, Amru Malachi Hashanah V'Fnei HaKodesh Baruch Hu. So the Malachim come to HaKodesh Baruch Hu and say, Menema in Yisrael, Amim Mitshirah Lefanech Mashom Nikiburim. Why aren't Bnei Yisrael singing to you on these days? Amen Afshar, Melech Yoshev, Akisei Din, Hadin, Sifrei Chayim, Sifrei Metim, Tuchim Lefanav. Is it possible that I would be sitting on the throne of judgment and I have the books of the those who are going to live and those who are not going to live in front of me open and I'm writing? Yisrael, Amim Shirah Lefanai, how can you expect them to say Shira? So that's why we don't say Hashir on Halal on Rosh Hashanah Kippur. So Chanukah has none of these things. No special Korban, no Moe, no Ikdush Basir Malacha, and nonetheless we do say Hallel. The answer is Mishum Nisa. We say Hallel on Chanukah because of a Nes, which means now we've gone in a different direction. And it seemed to be two prongs of Hallel. There's a prong of Hallel where we say it as part of a celebration and an imitation of Shira or an extension of Shira in the Mikdash. And a separate hollow that we say, as per the Gemara in Psachim Kufyot Zion, that because Hashem redeemed us, we thank Him. So if that's the case, then Purim, Deika Nisalema, we should say hollow on Purim. There's a famous sugya from Megillah Daf Yudalad. We don't say hollow for a nes that happened outside of Israel. But remember, Shira essentially starts with Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Atkar Nachma Yitzhak Var Yitzhak Mitzrayim Neshma Chutzlaritz Have. That was in Chutzlaritz. From in Hallel. The answer is, Kedetanya, Chutzlaritz Chutzlaritz Yisrael Aritz, Chushukar Atzlaritz Shira. The answer is that until we entered Eretz Yisrael, the whole world was a place where you could say Hallel for a miracle happening there. The minute we entered the land, the rest of the world was invalidated. It's now Chutz Laretz. Nachman says, we do say Hallel on Purim, and that's Kriyat HaMegillah, that the point of Hallel is to read something of Kitvei HaKodesh, praising God. So that's the Megillah. Rav Amar, he goes to the same direction of Nachman Bar Yitzchak as the first opinion. Rabbi Yitzchak, which is that we don't say Hallel on Purim, Rav Amar Rav Yishlam Mahatam, because the model, again, like Rav Nachman Yitzchak challenged, was from Yitziat Mitzrayim. And Hallel starts with the words, Hallelu Avde Adonai, give praise, you who are servants of God, meaning only of God, V'Avde Pharaoh, you're no longer servants of Pharaoh, slaves to Pharaoh, therefore give praise. Hachalu Avde Hashem V'Avde Hashverosh, but here you can't say that, because we're still Akati Avde Hashverosh Ninan. Even after the whole story was over, we still are slaves of Achashverosh. Okay, Rav Nachman, Damar Kriyat HaZui Yilula. So Rav Nachman, who had the middle opinion, who said that we do say Hallel on Purim, which is the Kriyat HaMegillah, we already learned that once we entered the land, the rest of the world was invalidated, so how can you say a nace for something that happened in Shushan? You could have answered the Jews in Israel were also spared. But Kevan Shagalu Chazur Latiron HaRishon, his answer is, once we were exiled, the rest of the world became reopened to Hallel. Okay, Loi Makeb Avu Shal Nechoshet, etc. The Mishnah said that he did not use a tube of copper, but rather one of a reed. But Patach Machaluv Asayim Bavuv. It started talking about a Chalil, then it came out with this Abuv, which, by the way, in modern Hebrew is an oboe. Sounds alike. Rapap Behindu Chalil Hani Abuv. The answer is that it's really the same thing. Maikar Le Chalil, the real word is Abuv. Why is it called a Chalil? The Chali Kale, it has a sweet sound. Tana Rabbanan, Abuv Hayah of Mikdash, Chalak Hayah, it was smooth, Dak Hayah, it was thin, Shalkan Hayah, it was reed. Mimot Moshe Hayah, they had it from the times of Moshe. Tziva HaMelech V'tzipu Zahav. So the king, and it's unclear which king this is, directed that it should be nicer, so they wanted to gold plate it. And here we're going to see a whole series of attempts to make things better and making it worse. V'loya kolo arev, they put gold plating on it, and it didn't sound as nice. Not l'tzipu yobla kolo arev, come on, shayah. They took the gold off, and it went back to its nice sound. Okay, tziltzulei of mikdash. They had a bell in the mikdash. Shalachoshadei, it was copper. V'ya kolo arev, it was nice. V'nifgam, it got bent. Shachu chachamim vivyu umanim l'Alexandria shom Yitzrayim. They brought some Alexandrian smiths in. V'tignu, and they fixed it. V'loya kolo arev, didn't work anymore. It didn't sound as nice. Now, Lua Tikuno, they took whatever they fixed and they put it back to the previously damaged state it was. And it was good, which means, even though it got damaged, leave it alone. Machtash Taitah of the Mikdash, there was a grinder of the Mikdash for grinding spices. Shalnechoshet Taitah was copper. Mot Moshe Hayah, Haitah, it goes back to Moshe's time. Tam Fatemata Besamim, they would use it to grind up the Besamim. Nit Pagma, so they got destroyed, it got hurt. If you manage Alexander from Mitzrayim Tignu, again they brought in smiths or artisans from Alexandria and they fixed it. It didn't work as well. So in other words, the external beauty was damaged, but by fixing it, the function was worse. So they took it away and it got fixed. It got better. It went back to the way it was. Elu shnei kelim yishtaru mikdash rishon. Both of these, the grinder and the tziltzul were remnants from the first mikdash. And kamu v'lo haya la maruka, they got damaged. They couldn't get any better. V'aleim amar tavi nechoshet mimorat. It's kind of a ground out copper, right? V'aleim hu omer ochlei nechoshet mutzav shtaim chamudot mizahav. They were more beautiful than gold. So Rav Yeshua Charamar kol achad v'achad shakul kishnaim shel zahav. Each one of them weighed as much as two of them of gold. Chamim shem shkulin kachad shlav. Two of them weighed as much as one of gold. Either way, though, they were beautiful, even though they were simple. Tana Rav Yosef, Shneim Shkulin Ke'achad Shel Zahav. Right, and he supported the version of the second version, which is the two of them together weighed like one of gold. Shneim Hayu, they were backups. Shneimar Shneim, meaning they were backup players. Al Tikre Shneim Ela Shneim. Okay, Tamar Shem Gamliel, Shiloach Hayam Kalech Maim Bichisar. The Me Shiloach, which is the pool in Yerushalayim, used to put out water that was a very small amount. So the king decreed that they open up the vent that comes out so that more water should come out. In the end, less came out. And they went back to the way it was, and it went back to its former good flow. All of these are associated with the pasuk. So Yirmiyahu says chacham shouldn't. He's not so chacham. The best thing to be wise about is yirat Hashem. And sometimes, you know, things happen the way they do, and all of man's attempts to fix them actually make them worse. Hardulius. It's probably a hidrolos. Loya mikdash. It was a certain kind of an organ that was heavily driven by water. That's why the hidro. They didn't have one in the Mikdash. My hidrolos, I'm rabbi, a tavla gudganda. It was this kind of organ. Mnesha kolo arev, marvevata ni'ima. It was a very beautiful music, but it would hurt the singing. It was too much. Marashila marmatna marshmuel, magrefai tav mikdash. They had this sort of fork in the Mikdash. Asarana kavim hayuba, and it had 10, it was kind of like a big pipe thing that had 10 holes in it. Kol achad v'chad motzi asara mine zemer. And you could get 10 different notes out of each hole. Said Kol Motzia Miyam Mine Zemer. So you had 100 different notes coming out of it. Manita Tanaya Amma V'Gavu Amma. We have a bright that says it was an Amma high and an Amma, it was an Amma up and Amma high. V'Kata Yotzei Mena. And it was a handle came out of it. Masona Karim Ayuba. There were 10 holes on the handle, Kol Achad Motzia Miyam Mine Zemer. And each hole had 100 different tones. And said Kol Motzia Elef Mine Zemer. So there was the whole thing. Put out 1,000 different tones. Rachma Yitzchak, Simanacha, how do you remember which one is the Breita? Matnita Guzma, the Breita is the exaggeration, the bigger exaggeration of 1,000 tones. Okay, the Mishnah then said, Avdei Kohanim Hayu, that they would have Avdei Kohanim were the ones who played the music of the Mikdash. So, and Rabbi Yossi said they were Yisraelim who were Miuchas, and Rabbi Chanimantan Togno said they were Levim. So, Lame Mahakimi Palgi, maybe the Machloket was the following. Not one of history, but Mandamar Vadimayu Kasav Ikashir Bapat. What is Shira? That Rameir must say that the Shira is singing. Oklilev Sumekalu Davida. And the music is just background, so you can have anybody playing. It doesn't matter who they are. Mandam Levimayu and Rabchen Mantagonos, who says they were Levim, Kasav Ikashir Bakli. That really the Shira is the musical playing, and therefore the players have to be Levim. Batisbara, think about it. That won't work, because Rabbi Yossi, my Kasavra, the Rabbi Yossi who's got the middle opinion, what's his position? If he thinks it's singing, Savadim Sagi, you could have slaves playing. He should agree with Rameir. But if on the other hand he says the Shira is Bakli, Levim Bainin, then you need Levim. So the Olam Kasavra Ikashir Bapeh. The answer is that he holds you that the main Shira is singing. Everybody believes that. The disagreement is simply, what does somebody playing in the Mikdash say about their status? Rameir, who said they were slaves, because somebody's playing an instrument in the Mikdash doesn't mean that we're going to allow their daughters to marry into Kahuna, and doesn't mean we're going to give them Masrod either. It means nothing. So therefore, we can have Avarim there. Manda Malavim Ayu, according to Rabbi Chanan Togno, says, if somebody's playing in the Mikdash, then that means that we assume that they come from a good lineage, and their daughters can marry Kohanim, and that they are Levim, and we can give them Masrod. Well, Manda Yisraelim Hayu, according to Rabbi Yossi, says they were from famous Emmaus families, but not Levim, Kasar Malin Miduchan Yuchsin for the Masrod. He holds that if somebody's playing in the Mikdash, that means that we could put them up to Yuchsin, but not from Masrot, and therefore they have to come from Israeli families from Yuchas, but not necessarily Levim. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick it up with a continuation of the study of this sugya of the Shira and the Mikdash in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.